Okay, well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning in the house of God, and I was asked to give a short meditation here as we begin the services and to share some things that I've been thinking on and God has been teaching me, and I was glad to do that here. So, we'll begin with a word of prayer here, if we would bow our heads. Father in heaven, yes, we call on your holy name here this morning. We thank you for your faithfulness again to us this past week and allowing us to gather here together, Lord. And we ask your blessing upon the word that is shared, that it would not be done with that it would be done in your strength and your power, Lord. And at this time, we also lift up Brother Peter and Marie family, the Shirk family, there in Kentucky. There, Father, we with the loss of their child, their father, we do lift them before you, ask you to strengthen them and bless them, Lord, encourage them, that Father, we just ask that you would be strong in their lives here during this time, and we thank you for this all this time, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I wanted to share just some things that I've been meditating on, and just some few thoughts here this morning. Trying to keep track of time here, but for text here, if you just turn to 2 Corinthians 4:17, if you have your Bibles open there. 2 Corinthians 4:17. And 18, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are there's a verses 7 through 9, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I think I'll just leave you with those words there. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. And so I look forward to the rest of the day here, the message there that Brother Dale's bringing, and we'll choose to embrace the Word of God and as it's brought to us. And I just thank you for listening, and God bless you all. Seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I want to talk a little bit about the focusing on the things that are temporal in this life. This morning, as we gather here, and our minds have gone a long ways in the past week. My mind has, I'm sure yours is also. And what are we focusing on? What are we seeing? And the scripture here says that the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So it requires a faith and a looking beyond the things of the present and looking far out by faith to really see accurately. And it's kind of like being, you know, in a physical sense, why some of us are short-sighted and some of us are long-sighted. And the physical condition of that is where we cannot see. If we're long-sighted, if we're short-sighted, I hope I have this right here, but it's where the condition where you can't really see. All you can see is what's in front of you, you know, and the farther off, you can't see clearly. But to be long-sighted, I believe, is to be able to see clearly far off and not see the things that are right in front of it, and not necessarily in the spiritual sense, not seeing the physical, not relying on our physical senses right in front of us. And it requires a looking out. Just as many times where I find myself very short-sighted, making decisions on what I'm feeling right now, the pressure that I feel right now, here, the here and now, but God calls us to look forward, to look out, and I want to, as we make decisions in life, and we have that choice. We can, if we are looking at the temporal, and we're driven by the temporal things, we usually fail. If all we're looking at is if we're just short-sighted, we're usually going to make the wrong decision. So may God give us the grace to be long-sighted. I'm going to look at some scripture here, some examples in scripture of men that looked out and didn't look at their present circumstances. And we see here that God gives us the choice to make. He gives us a free will, He gives us the power to choose, and as believers, even in the scriptures, you know, we see oftentimes as I've been meditating on this, the choices we see people make in the scriptures, in the Old Testament especially, where they made very wrong choices, and the scripture doesn't necessarily comment on which, you know, God doesn't necessarily say that was really a bad choice, but if we look later on in life, we see that it was really, and God just allowed him to do that, and so he does with us today. And I marvel at the little choices I make each day, and how they have long-term consequences with my family and in my life, and just the little things. And God freely says, "Here, you know, here's a choice." Will you choose? Will you be short-sighted or will you be long-sighted? Will you see you know, how do we see things? So we make a choice that's a little short-sighted, and you know, lightning doesn't usually strike, you know, after the first time we do that choice, you know, but God. There's a law, and the scripture says that whatsoever man sows, that will he also reap. And let me just look at some examples here. Daniel is the first one there. The book of Daniel there, we were just reading there recently, and I was just struck by Daniel made a choice. The Bible says that in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, that Daniel, here he was in the courts of Babylon. And he, you know, he faced pressure on every side. But verse 8 says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. It says that Daniel just made a choice, and it wasn't on the temporal situation. If he'd have been relying on his temporal senses, or been short-sighted, he would have said, come on, what's the big deal? You know, just the king's food, you know, it's here, and let's just let's somehow sanctify it and just eat this king's food, you know. But Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with anything of Babylon there. And just a beautiful example there. And as we go on there in verse 17, it says that him and those three young men, it says, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. So we see Daniel looked afar out and he received a blessing from it. One example there. Moses is another example there that I think it's very worthwhile to mention. And there's a testimony of Moses' life in Hebrews 11 where it says that Hebrews 11, verse 25 to 26, Moses it says that he was choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And at home we have some Bible story books and this one, there's this painting, this picture of Moses standing in the court there of Pharaoh's court, and he's standing there kind of I've often noted that he appears to be in a decision. You know, he had to choose to identify with the pleasures and the treasures in Egypt, or he had the reproach of Christ, and he had to make a choice. And it says that he chose to become to suffer affliction with the people of God. And I just draw a little. He had on one hand, he had the treasures of Egypt, and over here he had the reproach. Of Christ. And you know, we could draw this like he had to weigh that out. Got little scales here. And on one hand, he had to. He was faced with that, and you know, we're faced with much the same in our lives. What will we identify with? And Moses became. He chose to identify with the Hebrew slaves. And he left, and it says he became a stranger in the land of Midian there for 40 years of his life. But his testimony is that God says that he was the meekest man on earth, you know. And it's a beautiful picture there of a man that just, he had a choice to make, and he looked out far out ahead with a vision, with a long eye. Another example here is Abraham and Lot. Abraham and Lot. Now there's an example of a contrast there in Genesis chapter 13. I'll find a few verses in there, But Abraham and Lot were were together, but Lot, we began to see that Lot began to make decisions based on the temporal, and Abraham didn't. Abraham was a contrast to that. But chapter 13 of Genesis there's a few verses, 10, 13, 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld. Well, after it became apparent that him and Abraham and Lot couldn't dwell together, why Abraham just told him, Lot, you know, we need to just separate here. He said, if you go one way, I'll go. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. And if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Yeah, we'll just separate here. Abraham made that decision with a long eye. But Lot, so he gave Lot the choice. And Lot lifted up his eyes there in verse 10 and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest out into Zoar. And then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, it says. Lot chose. He chose to move to the land, to the city of Sodom there. You know, we all know how that all went. Then Lot, he made some decisions, little decisions here and there, and it appears that he became a pretty affluent man in that city. Well known, it says he sat at the gate, and as maybe he had a position of judging or in the government. And it's amazing, you know, how did that happen? You know, how did that happen? I think it happened because he had a short eye. He made judgments and decisions on the temporal things that he was feeling. And we read the how far Lot fell there, and you know, it'd be pretty hard for us to believe that he was saved if it wouldn't be for Peter in the epistles there. Called him a righteous man, but it says that his soul was vexed from day to day forget the phrase there he uses there with what he observed there, the wicked lifestyle of Sodom there. But the positions and the comforts of Sodom, you know, was what Lot seemed to set his eye on. And contrast that with Abraham. We go on there to Genesis 14. At one point there, why Sodom was overrun, overtaken. There again, Lot had dwelling therein. When the city got The curse that came upon the city, well, Lot shared in that also. He shared in its wealth and its riches and its easy lifestyle, but you know, he shared in the curse also. He was carried off as a captive, but Abraham went and rescued him, and he came back and said with a lot of goods and a lot of wealth that they had plundered from the city, and it appears the city was very wealthy. And chapter 14, verse 22. Abraham came back, and he offered to the Sodom there, to the king of Sodom. It says, "Here, you know, here's everything I brought back, the king of Sodom told Abraham that give us the people, but we'll let you keep the goods." And you know, Abraham said, Abraham refused. He said in verse 23 there, he said, "I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich." Abraham there refused to take the gain, the riches of Sodom. He refused to touch it. Big difference there between him and Lot there. And note how it says there that chapter 15 there, immediately after that account, chapter 15, it says, "And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And I think that's God came to him immediately after that. God saw the choice that Abram made to not partake of the he saw the faith of Abram there, and the rejection of the short-lived the pleasures of sin for a season. And God immediately came to him and said, "Abraham, fear not. I am with thee." And that's all we need right there. Beautiful example there of a long eye. And we move on to Hebrews 11. It says there that the Abraham had, and it tells us why. It said Abraham Hebrews 11, verse 9, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And that's what Abraham looked for. He had the long eye. He looked out, and he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. And he was building his life upon the principles of God there. And we see the blessing of God falling upon his life and his overcoming life. So, beautiful examples there. But here we are today, and each of us have been making choices. Most of you all made a choice at some point to be here. You made choices that led you to where you're at right here this morning, sitting here, and many of you had to make very difficult choices. Choices that where you had to reject the short-sightedness, and you had to look out with an eternal eye. Had to look for that city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. May God bless you. I just want to bless you this morning and continue may God give you the courage to keep on there. Or I think of maybe some of the young people that are here, you're maybe a second generation Christian, and you might seem like you haven't had to make a lot of choices like that. But you're making choices anyway. And many of you are making huge choices every day to stay faithful and to look out, to have that long eye, not looking for the treasures of Egypt, but rather embracing the reproaches of Christ. And I want to bless all you young people. You're an inspiration to me and my family, and to continue on in that way. And it's not easy sometimes. It's not easy, but you will need to continue to make choices. And if we, sometimes we get to where we face a choice, and we think, well, we'd just like to be neutral. But I want to encourage young people, especially here, that to be neutral is to be backsliding. But continue to look the long eye of the example of just the question of purity. It requires a looking out by faith and not focusing on the temporal things. I think of the all the sisters and the mothers and the wives here this morning. There's a verse there in Hebrews 11 there also for you here this morning. Sarah, Abraham's wife there, it says that that she Hebrews 11:11, it says, through faith Sarah also received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And encourage all the mothers in here to, you know, the impossibilities of what we face at times as a mother and in a household, with the homeschooling, it can be overwhelming at times. But to judge him faithful who has promised, Sarah did that, and it says that she had accomplished impossibilities became a reality to her when she judged him faithful. Can we just judge God faithful today? And looking back in our life in the last couple of years, I as I looked at that verse, I thought, you know, so many times I doubted God, but I just I marvel at His faithfulness. She judged him faithful. That's the long I there. Some things that can dim our vision and make us walk in darkness. The scriptures in 1 John 2:11 talks about he that hateth his brother, you know, can dim that vision. It can dim those things and give us a poor vision. A few verses here in Mark 8:24, I just quickly there, but Jesus healed this man that was blind. And this man is unusual account there, but he, I don't know that I understand it all there, but he said that that he could see, but it said that he didn't have, it appeared that he had blurred vision of some sort. And I think maybe Mark 8:24 there, because after Jesus took the blind man and by the hand led him out of town, and when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught, and he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And I think maybe that's a Christian with cloudy eyesight. Maybe he's got one short eye and maybe he's got one long eye, and everything's cloudy, you know, but Christ dealt with that man also, and he says he gave him, after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. That's the vision that Christ wants to give us, and he can do that for us. A beautiful example there of seeing clearly there. We'll just close here with a few verses in Galatians 6 there.